Ted, Sean and Ted, were talking about the... We just watched Extreme Rules, WWE's latest pay-per-view. And this is a new thing we decided we wanted to do. Get together after the pay-per-views and talk about what we just saw. So, Ted, overall, what did you think of the show?
If I were to be blatantly honest, it's a little hard. It was a little hard to pay attention to, which is, you know, weird to say right after I was enthralled by WrestleMania 30, but it's kind of forgettable.
And why do you feel like that was?
I think a lot of the matches had the wrong pace. I will say the six-man tag with Evolution and the Shield was well-paced, but I want to say the match between John Cena and Bray Wyatt went on way too long. And I felt like Daniel Bryan versus Kane did all the wrong things of the turn of the millennium style hardcore wrestling.
Yeah, it was. It felt like a very, very neutered version of that. So let's. Why don't we just go through the pay per view?
Yeah, match by match.
Match by match. So the you want to talk? Let's talk about the.
The free-for-all, it's not even free-for-all, you have to have the network to watch it, but I guess you could call it the pre-show.
Yeah.
I think we all had really low expectations, especially since they're calling it WLC, and we're like, oh god, here's a way to exploit the little people again.
Yeah.
But they went all out. They got a referee, they got an announcer, they had an announce team, and gosh darn, they went all the way with it.
Yeah, it was pretty amusing, and it was a fun match to watch, too.
Yeah, and then the match got started, and they started working their butts off. There were some pretty big bumps in that match, and I had a lot of fun watching it.
Yeah, it was, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but was Hornswoggle ever really a wrestler?
I don't know. Obviously, he's trained enough to take a few bumps. He's never really wrestled too many matches. Years ago, he wrestled a match when he was still doing the Leprechaun gimmick.
Yeah.
But to be quite frank, I don't know. I don't know what the role is. Whereas El Torito is played by Mascarita Sagrada, who is a, you know, Mexican...
Mini.
Yeah, and so he's done his thing. But that was a fun match. You know, what else can you do, you know?
Yeah, it was fun. And then, okay, so after we saw that, the pay-per-view starts proper with the three-way elimination between Jack Swagger, Cesaro and Rob Van Dam. For me, I felt like even though they had a month to build this up with at least Cesaro and Jack Swagger, I don't really care about that. And then throwing Rob Van Dam into the mix seemed like a last minute addition, which seems odd and made me care about the match even less.
It wasn't even, to me, an announced match. It was just something that got thrown together. I mean, it made sense to me, knowing the participants in it, but it was kind of thrown together. Agreed.
And I just don't, like, sometimes I have to wonder when it's like, okay, Cesaro just came off a really big win. He left the Real Americans, joined up with Paul Heyman. What does this really do for him going forward? I mean, it just seems like just a small notch to put on his belt. You know what I mean?
I think you got to build the small things before you build the big things. But looking at it realistically, looking at the big picture, here's the problem with aligning him with Paul Heyman. I mean, Paul Heyman's going to be like the ultimate bad guy, but Cesaro cannot get booed no matter what he does.
Yeah.
And worst of all, so Paul Heyman keeps talking about Brock Lesnar. He did the routine again tonight. Here's the problem: we haven't seen Brock Lesnar since the night after WrestleMania. And if he's going to be a part-time wrestler, letting him break the streak was probably a bad decision. If they're not going to even have the guy around to make money off it.
Somebody brought up a really good point. This is going to elevate Paul Heyman more than it's going to do anything for Brock.
At this rate, yeah, definitely.
And it's going to make Heyman like probably the best manager like going. And I would like to see more of that, more managers coming. I know that brings me to the next match with you know, a guy that I barely pay attention to. What was his name?
Alexander Rusev.
Yeah, who is this Joker?
Before we get to that, I just want to point out one funny thing. So remember the first elimination when the announcer's like, did they get him?
Oh,
did
yeah,
they not
yeah.
get him? Also, they seem to be confused that this was an elimination match and not a straight-up triple threat.
Yeah.
So that was kind of funny. But yeah, so Alexander Rusev has been a beast in developmental for some time. He was actually part of a tag team managed by Sylvester Lefort. I take it you don't follow a lot of NXT, and that's, you know, not a problem,
yeah.
because what matters is a lot of these NXT people have to get rechristened when they enter WWE. That's a topic for another time, but Rusev is being poised as a dominant player, and he's got that Lana.
Yeah.
Lana, actually, I don't know if she wrestles in NXT. That's a funny thing. I actually have not seen her compete. I think she's just a mouthpiece.
It was just weird because, I mean, it was like, okay, I'll like full disclosure for anyone listening. I don't have cable. I only watch wrestling on Hulu, and Hulu, they cut it out. They cut out an hour and a half of Raw because it's 3 hours, right?
That's right. And you are correct. They cut out exactly 50% of it.
So he must be one of the people that they cut out. So I don't know who he is, and I don't know who that other guy was that came out with R-Truth.
Okay, couple things. You remember when Ryback debuted and they pushed him by, like, just smashing him against random people and having him beat the crap out of them?
Yeah.
That's what we're doing with Rusev so far. R-Truth is being accompanied by Xavier Woods, another NXT graduate whose gimmick was he stole Brodus Clay's theme music and Funkadactyls, and then they forgot about it.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
Yeah, because that was just like a really... I felt like it was a waste of time and a waste of good pay-per-view time to put a squash match. But I guess they're trying to elevate that guy, but I just didn't care.
Well, they did that with Ryback for months, and it kind of helped. So we'll see what they do with Rusev from here.
Yeah, but it helped with Ryback, but look where Ryback is now.
Yeah, not as high as we'd like, I guess.
Well, I don't really like Ryback all that much. I don't like anybody that they push like Goldberg. It just gets on my nerves, this undefeated, like, monster. It's because they really just feed him a bunch of jobbers, a glorified jobbers. They don't really have, like...
Yeah, R-Truth... Jobbers. What cracks me up is when they call R-Truth a young superstar. R-Truth is 42 years old.
Oh, yeah, he's old.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it just felt like, why am I watching this? You know what I mean? Like,
Did you think he wasn't going to win? I mean, okay, the Monday before, like, oh, he's in trouble. No.
Exactly, that's the thing. Like, there was no surprise to it. I turned to my girlfriend and I said, this is a squash match, you know? This is just a match to elevate this guy to make him seem like a beast. And I just feel like doing that on pay-per-views is just a waste. There's other guys that I feel like could have been on this pay-per-view doing something interesting. So next was what I feel was the match of the night, and I'm sure you agree. Evolution versus the Shield.
Wait, I gotta stop you. Didn't we have the Intercontinental title match before that?
Oh, shit, we did. We did. We did. That's right.
So,
oh, see,
there...
I forgot about that.
You know, that's one thing I was worried about is, God, I hope we don't forget a match. So there was a 3-week tournament to determine the number one contender, and Bad News Barrett won, so he's gonna fight Big E at the pay-per-view. And I honestly wanted Big E to win, and I'll tell you why. It has nothing to do with Bad News Barrett, but the Intercontinental title in the past several years is... just a thing, and it doesn't have any prestige. And one way you build prestige is have a guy who defends the title and defends it well, and eventually loses it. You keep playing hot potato with it, and it really doesn't have any meaning.
No, I mean, that's how I feel about the World Championship too. They've been doing that with all the belts for like the last decade. I feel like there's no. I mean, the days of like 3-year runs or year runs with a belt, I just feel are over. Like, they get to, like, just under a year, and then they're like, we're taking the belt off of you.
The last Intercontinental title defense at a pay-per-view was at Elimination Chamber 2 months ago when Big E defeated Jack Swagger. And then after that, there was one title defense on WWE Main Event when there was a number one contender crown, but there was an injury. Like, I think it was Dolph Ziggler who won, but he got a concussion, so they gave it to Christian. I don't really remember all of that, so...
I feel like putting it on Bad News is much better than having it on Big E. Big E had no personality.
Big E has a personality, but they don't let him show it on television. If you follow his Instagram, he's great, but, I mean, the Instagram isn't the thing that, you know, gets ratings.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I feel like they gave him a run, They probably put him on some matches, check the ratings to see where the people were when if he was watching. I just don't think he's very interesting. I'm hoping Bad News is going to elevate the title maybe a little bit more.
Big E Langston was one of those guys who, when he was called up from NXT, lost a lot of his gimmick. Like, though they managed to keep a lot of what the Wyatt family was when they called him up. But Big E had this gimmick where he would pin people with five counts instead of three counts. And there was, he would always do this thing with five, and at least it was something you could get behind. He would hold up his hand and shout, five, five. Yeah. And he doesn't do any of that. There's a lot of people in NXT, but for the most part, Bad News Barrett's red hot, putting the title on him, let him defend it a few times and give it back some prestige. That's, yes.
And I think that's what they're going to do. I think that they gave him a good gimmick. He's running with it. He's, you know, I think he, like, when they were in the, I had a feeling he was going to win the tournament. I just felt like Cesaro, they got different plans for him right now. So, and I knew that Barrett was going to take it. And then when he was in the pay-per-view, I was like, there's just no way. I just don't see them pushing Big E the way they've been pushing Barrett. So it just makes a lot of sense.
FYI, right now on the WWE Network, we're missing Daniel Bryan explain why he knows how to drive a forklift so well. We'll get to that.
you're saying about title defenses and stuff like that. This brings me to a segue to our next match. When the fuck is Dean Ambrose going to defend his belt?
Dean Ambrose defended his belt last Friday on SmackDown.
In a match that matters.
Dean Ambrose has not defended his belt in a match that matters since that one time he defended it against Mark Henry. And God help me, I don't remember when that was.
That's what I'm saying. He's had the belt and they don't even really, like, they mention it, but it doesn't mean anything. They're like, they keep putting him in these three ways and it's like, no,
I have an unpopular opinion. They should vacate the title. Get rid of it.
You think they should get rid of the U.S. Championship?
I believe they should get rid of the United States Championship. I just said it. Yeah.
Why do you feel that way?
It's the same reason that they got rid of the European Championship, Hardcore Championship, too many titles. Now, there's less titles when they had to get rid of all the titles, but if you can't even make the time to defend the Intercontinental Championship appropriately... What? You got this other belt. It's just like, okay, Dean Ambrose has been the United States Championship, and it is meaningless. It's this thing he carries around, throws over the barricade, does his roll, and then picks it up. That is the point of the United States Championship, to be a prop. Not cool.
No, I know. I agree. And that's why I feel like they should really be doing something to have him... Like, I feel like going... Well, we can talk about this, but I feel like after this Evolution match, I think a good thing would be to have Batista go after the U.S. Championship. You know what I mean? Like, I know it's a lesser belt than what he came there for, but have that kind of carry over. So here's Evolution versus the Shield. This, to me, is the highlight. And I feel like, with the exception of WrestleMania, which was a very weird squash match for the Shield, going back before that was Elimination Chamber, and they stole the show with the Wyatts, and here they are again stealing the show with Evolution.
That was a fun match. You know, you had the beginning of it with Seth Rollins being in peril. Then they get Dean Ambrose, and then he's in peril. It's neat when they play with the formula a little bit like that, especially when they have the time to.
Yeah.
I actually thought Evolution was going to go over, so that's surprising.
I didn't think they were, and that's the, you know what, like, I feel like the reason why I don't know what Orton and Batista have in mind, but Triple H, I know he believes, I hate to say this, but he believes in the Shield. And he's pretty good at putting over people that he's behind. He lost to Batista three matches in a row when Batista beat him for the belt.
Right. Speaking of Batista, the rumor is that this was his last match for a while.
Oh, really?
He might show up tomorrow night on Raw, but what I just read online is that he's going to take some time off to promote Guardians of the Galaxy. And, I don't know what's going on with him.
Well, why they brought him back to promote it, but it kind of all backfired?
Well, it's funny how it all backfired, but thinking about everything, Batista ended up being a heavy, a guy. You know, they brought him back, they had him on the Royal Rumble, and God, everyone hated it. At least WWE did the right thing and made him a heel.
Yeah. But it's, well, I gotta tell you, I didn't feel like he showed well tonight at all. Like, nothing good happened for him. He didn't get to do his finishing move. He lost. He's the one who got his pinned. I felt like it was a really poor showing for him, and it kind of weakened him overall.
Well, if he is leaving, then it's fine for him to take the pinfall, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, that's kind of a rumor. We'll see. Well, I mean, time will tell. Fun fact, as I'm thinking, were you watching any of the pre-show, like, right when it started?
I wasn't. I was doing something else, and I turned it on a little bit late. I just saw, like, kind of the beginning of it, and then...
Well, what I want to point out is the crowd is still chanting for CM Punk. So,
oh, really?
I'm starting to get tired of it, quite frankly.
And I feel like, and that's going to bring me to something I want to say a little bit later. I don't know, did you watch Raw last week?
Yes.
That was the deadest crowd I've seen in forever.
Yeah.
They were dead.
When Jim Ross mentions that the crowd is dead, you have a problem.
I mean, the Shield's music came on and nobody did anything.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just this really weird dead crowd, and it was really awkward to see.
And why? And it takes effort to make a dead crowd, because Jim Ross said you don't spend a lot of money on tickets, you don't get in your car, you don't park, pay for parking, you don't get into the arena to sit on your hands.
Yeah, it was really weird. But the opposite of that was true tonight. Tonight, it was crazy. I mean, and it's funny because besides Cena, I don't think anyone got more boos than Batista.
Yeah, agreed.
Like, he can't do anything at this point. I don't feel like they could even turn him face.
No. Batista's, you can look at him like a failed experiment that they just keep dragging.
Yeah, I don't get it. But so then you have Seth Rollins doing a crazy dive off the fucking...
Oh, both announce tables?
Well, that and the bleachers.
Oh my God. So... That's Extreme Rules. They're just running around all over the place. The crowd reminds me of a lot of stuff back in the old days.
Yeah, a lot of this felt like a lot of callback to old, like 10, 15 years ago WWE. So the evolution happens, and now where do they go? Does this mean that? I mean, obviously that storyline's not over, but they're going to probably be in a program for a couple of pay-per-views.
That'll be fine. But I don't know what the end result will be. If it gets us more good matches, great.
Yeah, I just feel that. And also, the biggest cheer of the night, I feel like, was Roman Reigns.
Yep.
I feel like he is, like... I'm going to tie this in a little bit later, but I think he's even more over than Daniel Bryan. And the reason why I say that is because people cheer everything he does. Daniel Bryan, they do the yes chant because it's this cool, simple thing for everybody to do.
Yeah.
But they don't really pop for a lot of his moves. You know?
Yeah.
Like, when he's getting hyped up, you don't feel that electricity in the audience, where it's like every time Roman Reigns starts getting pumped up, everyone starts to go nuts, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like it's only a matter of time before that guy is on his own.
They were teasing the Shield breaking up, and then they turned them babyface, and I think we can get several more months of the Shield SWAT teaming people in fun ways. I mean, Seth Rollins is doing some fun stuff in matches. There's a match a little while ago, I think it was on Raw, when he took out like so many people. Like, he did like three dives in a row, and the crowd was like losing their minds. Yeah, that was fun.
He's surprisingly, he was my least favorite, and he's becoming. Like, I actually kind of like him a little. I like Roman Reigns a lot.
Yeah.
And I want to see Reigns do well. But Seth Rollins is creeping up there. Like, just kind of throwing himself into it. Just kind of Jeff Hardying it, you know? Like, just throwing himself into whatever he can to try to and give the highlights and the good spots. So, I like seeing that. And Dean Ambrose is fun to watch just because he takes bumps real well.
Definitely, definitely. It's a lot of fun to watch him bump. He took Crossroads from Cody Rhodes so well. I remember that. Made it look like an amazing finisher.
And that's the other thing. Like, you have, like, people like Goldust and Cody Rhodes who were just months ago champions, and then they're not on a pay-per-view. I don't know. I think that's silly. But and next, I feel, is the technically the worst match of the night. Wyatt versus Cena.
That was a long match. And I think this proved why the escaping the cage victory clause is kind of dumb. It's like, oh, I'm going to climb out this cage. Oh, wait, there's a guy on the other end. I'm going to stand here and look confused. And I'm going to do this multiple times throughout the match. I mean, I'm really going to drive this point home and make you sit here another 10 minutes.
My problem was, okay, so Bray Wyatt, in my opinion, is the best heel they've had in forever.
Yes.
And they were building him as a monster, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so we get to WrestleMania, and he fucking loses to Cena at WrestleMania, which was stupid.
Yeah, but at least it didn't end everything.
Excuse me. And then, but then tonight, they booked him like a pussy. They booked him like he cannot get the job done, and that's bad.
Yeah.
That's really bad. Like, that makes him look really weak. I don't know why they did that. The other Wyatt's interfering should have happened maybe one or two times, but it was constant.
Yeah.
Every single time.
They never really got going. This match was just slow paced and
I like the ending. I like the ending. I think the voice modulator was a little silly, but I like the ending that, you know, he's corrupted. I probably would have wrote it a little differently. I would have had a kid wearing a Cena shirt.
Why does the kid stop Cena? Why is it that, like, he can defeat, like, all these other Wyatts, and then, like, this kid, he cannot defeat the child?
Well, it's not that he can't defeat the child, it's just that it throws him off because Bray Wyatt's message is getting to him. And that's why I feel like the kid should have been wearing a Cena shirt. Like, that should have been, like, he corrupted a Cena fan. You know
that
I mean?
That would have been good. The voice modulation cracked me up, and then they did the thing in the back, and it's like they called him
Johnny.
Johnny's like, oh god, they called him Johnny.
Well, it was funny because
Little Jimmy.
I don't recall ever seeing a promo like that cut during a pay per view.
No, not like that. So
so Bray Wyatt, you know, is booked kind of weak, and then he gets the move off, and then, but that's going back to what I was saying, Bray Wyatt was so over tonight. Like, cheers, like you would not believe. And it's like, I feel like they are doing whatever they can to try to book him more as a heel. Like, if you want, like, the announcers start talking about how he's like, you shouldn't listen to him, and he's a, what is it, the Pied Piper, and he's just saying, like, his message is bad, and then I feel like they're really trying to sell him as a heel and Cena as the good guy, but the fans aren't buying it, you know? He's still a heel, but they still love him, you know what I mean? So I don't understand why they would book him so poorly. Like, it just baffles me that they booked that match so badly.
Look what happened on Monday, and John Cena's like, why? Why did you do this to me? And it's so strange. I wonder if they're actually going to turn Cena... I don't know what they're going to do with Cena, but, like, what if they turn him some kind of heel? I mean, I don't know. I just want to see what happens tomorrow with... God, I don't know.
I just feel like they're just, like... I don't know. I don't feel like Cena's ever going to turn heel. So I feel like maybe we'll get one more match out of this feud, maybe two, one more match, and I hope that Bray goes over clean, but I have a feeling Cena's just going to go back over, and it's just going to be Super Cena bullshit again, and that's why people boo him, because they do shit like that. Then was the Divas Championship.
That was, you know, why did they always put, for years, the Divas match is what they put right on before the main event, and, you know, it's meant to give you a break, and it sucks for the Divas, because I think some of them work really hard. This match was,
terrible.
Well, was it that Tamina forgot to kick out, or what happened with that fake three count?
I don't know. I mean, she kicked out. It's just that she kicked out right at the last, like right before his hand hit. So physics took over and his hand hit. But I just thought that I think Paige, since she's won the belt, has been awful. I thought she won the belt terribly, and she's just had the belt. It's just terrible. The whole
I agree. And what really sucks is if you've watched her on NXT, you know that she can put together some amazing matches. They just haven't given her the time. It's like whenever an NXT diva comes up to WWE, the first thing they do is just turn the suck dial up enough.
And it sucks because do you know why AJ's not there?
No, rumor has it she's taking some time off to be with CM Punk. Not really sure.
Okay, because that's like putting her with Tamina, who's really not that good, and like I don't know, it was just a bad match. And I've watched Paige ever since like the day after WrestleMania all the way up, and I'm like, she's just not very good here. Like, I don't know if it's getting in front of that audience that you're kind of choking, or she just doesn't have good opponents, but it's just not, she's not fun to watch. So that's that. And then the title match, which I feel like was kind of a wash. Yes, like I said, Cena's over, and he's over with the yes chance and stuff, but seeing like the match itself doesn't really get people excited.
I think that until they give personalities to the divas and they actually give them a little bit deeper, they're never going to be exciting because it's just two people in the ring wrestling. When you start to add some dimension, that's when it gets interesting, but the divas have never had the time.
So, yeah, I mean, well, that's the thing. They don't give them enough time, and when they do give them time, it's to promote that shitty reality show.
I agree. And the worst thing is that reality show gets pretty good ratings for E. Here's the thing. Until the divas could conceivably main event a show, what we would like from the divas will never happen. That's what I think. I'm not saying that they should main event every show, but it should be theoretically possible to see that, I think.
Here's my theory, is that you never have a large group of good divas. Like, and the funny thing is that the divas are as baby faces are always boring. Always. All the best divas that they've had since this whole concept started have been heels.
Agreed.
Trish Stratus was best as a heel.
Yep.
Even Sable, who was technically the prototype for this whole nonsense, she was best as a heel. Now, you know, AJ was best as a heel. I don't know, man. It's just, I don't know. And the audience doesn't give a shit either.
Got to make them care. Give them personalities. Make them actually care about the characters.
They like AJ.
AJ was really, really good at her job.
I saw a funny picture of her from a long time ago with, she's crying. She's a little kid. She's crying and getting an autograph from Lita.
Yeah, that's really cool when you think about it. Later, there was a, they filmed an interview that was right before WrestleMania, I don't know if it was 29 or 30, when she was talking with Lita.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's funny. And, you know, so that's cool when she, you know, she grew up loving wrestling and wanted to be a wrestler, and she's a wrestler. But, all right, yeah, we got off a little track. Are you done with the Divas match?
I am, yeah, I think we've covered it. So that leaves one match. We're already to the main event.
Yeah, and the main event itself, this was just, it was just blah. I didn't care going in. I don't see Kane as a real viable threat to the title. No matter how much they want to build him up, we all know that Kane is there to get people over.
And has been for 15 years. One of the issues with the build-up to the match is that Daniel Bryan took a week off to go be on his honeymoon after WrestleMania. And then when he got back, his dad died, so they wrote him out of the show really quickly so he could get on a plane and see his dad. While he was away, his first Make-A-Wish kid died. So quite honestly, it's been pretty brutal for him, but also put a hamper in the time frame of the match. So they build something up quick with Kane, and Kane just, yeah, you're right. He doesn't get taken seriously as a threat. Remember when Chris Benoit won the title 10 years ago? Do you remember what his first title defense was after they redid the rematch with the same three people? It was against Kane. Mm. Yeah, shortly after that, he lost the title to Randy Orton.
And I think that's just like, That's just poor. Like, they talk about how, I mean, this has been a long time coming with Bryan winning the belt, and they basically throw. It's like, have you seen Rocky III?
Yes.
You know how they talk about how they gave him a bunch of easy wins?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I feel like they're doing for Bryan, but it's not building his character at all. He needs to have viable threats. Like, they shouldn't have put Evolution in a match with the Shield. Evolution should have went after Bryan.
Yeah, why did they just change focus on the Shield? It's like a weird momentum shift. Can we talk about the match?
Yeah, let's do it.
So, I think when they went to the back, that's when the match just went to hell.
Yep.
I remember the spot where he's lying on the car and then Kane throws something at him. Bryan dodges, goes to the windshield. I'm thinking, oh my God, where's Crash Holly?
the hardcore, what was he? Hardcore Holly?
Hardcore Holly's cousin.
Oh yeah, that's right.
He believed he weighed 600 pounds, carried a scale to the ring. And this was back when the hardcore title was something that was defended anywhere at any time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Remember the time there was a guy sleeping? And so the guy crept into his hotel room with a referee, and, like, he pinned him really quietly. And then, like, he celebrated all slow and quiet. But that's how serious I took this match when they started doing this. And then they busted out the forklift, and I'm like, done.
And it was funny, too, because when they came back in the ring, it was dead. It was quiet.
They were booing, and the only way they got him back was when Bryan climbed to the top of the forklift. But I'm like, and the crowd knew that this was dumb.
And that's the thing, but in 1998, when Austin did stuff like this, the crowd went nuts.
Because there's also an animated thing with Austin that you cared about Austin, and he wanted to see him beat the crap out of whoever he was fighting. Austin was great at brawling.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying. The problem with Bryan and this match is that you couldn't, no matter what goes on, this match had no real stakes.
Especially the end. Daniel Bryan sets Kane on fire. The guys are right there at the fire extinguishers, God bless them.
Yeah.
Bryan hits his running finisher, you know, 1-2-3, and then Kane gets up. It's like you beat a video game, but the bad guy gets up, sneers at you, and you roll credits. That's what this feels like.
Yeah, yeah. And it was just, I don't know, does that mean we're going to have to see this match again?
Yes. Hopefully on Raw or SmackDown. Well, Raw.
Well, I personally want to see Bryan defending his title against worthy opponents. But they've been doing some weird shit. Like, I don't know if you remember, but like there was 2 weeks where he was in a program with Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, he joined the Wyatt family and then he unjoined. There's actually a lot of conspiracy theorists who claim that Daniel Bryan and Kane were actually really good friends and set that all up. There's this really weird explanation if you go online. There's some like people that dissect this beyond sane levels.
Well, okay, so that's, you have your pay-per-view, you have your title match, which was kind of blah. So going through the whole thing, only one match was really, really that great. I mean, Evolution versus Shield. Wyatt and Cena had its moments, but just was poorly booked. And then everything else was like kind of there. It felt like a glorified version of Raw to me.
I am so thankful I have the WWE Network so yep. that if we weren't doing this podcast, I could just choose to watch this later. I mean, you know what? Either right now or in a few minutes, you'll be able to watch it on demand on the network. I think there's like a few minute delay between the first airing of a live show and when you can see it. But I mean, okay, credit to the network. I only had one hiccup, and I refreshed the browser, and it was fine. So I haven't had any hiccups from the network lately.
I watched it on my PS4, and right when it was starting, it did this weird thing where it cut to Extreme Rules from last year. And it was right in the middle of the Brock Lesnar Triple H match in the steel cage.
That's weird.
It was really weird. It just stopped. It was like they were doing the beginning where they give you all the major storylines, and then All of a sudden it jumped back to another pay-per-view. I was like, "What?"
Well, so what
I
they were, it yeah, out
and then
they
started it.
That's what they were showing before they went to the pre-show. So they were showing last year's Extreme Rules.
Ah, so it jumped back in time on the play line. Okay, because
it's
really
it's
weird.
Possible. Yeah. Have you gotten the app on the Xbox One since it's now available?
I didn't download it yet on the Xbox One. I didn't want to mess with that today because I wanted to just make sure. I know it works on the PS4. I didn't want to do that today. I had a busy day going, like literally like everything leading right up to when the pay-per-view started, so I didn't have time to download it and stuff, so...
Well, if you don't have an Xbox 360 or PS3, it seems like you have a good experience. I've heard a lot of people complain about Xbox 360. In fact, they actually had to send an email out apologizing. PS3 has been okay, but obviously better experience on the current gen.
I don't watch anything on my Xbox. I stopped watching Game of Thrones because I couldn't stand the HBO Go app on the Xbox 360.
Well, I don't think – it's just that, you know, the Xbox 360 came out 2005. Whatever you think of the system, you can't argue that it's showing its age.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, as a pay-per-view, I feel like I lost 3 hours of my life. I wasn't happy with it. But on the other hand, there's something else that I noticed about the pay-per-view. Do you remember when every pay-per-view always had these really neat sets?
Yeah.
Did you notice the set for this pay-per-view?
Was bland.
It was the same as Raw, and there was like an X in the top left, and I think there was a box on the right, and that was it.
Yeah, I feel like that's what I'm saying. It all felt like just a glorified version of Raw. It didn't have anything that really felt important, you know?
It's like now that they have the WWE Network, it's like, well, you're watching these pay-per-views. Why do we need to gussy them up? Screw it.
Well, I think was it you who said this, or somebody said this, that the WWE, like, Network is actually pulling people away from Raw live.
I don't know if it can do that because they're not going to show Raw on the network live for a while. USA apparently USA's renegotiated the rights. I don't see it pulling people away from live Raw, and even if you have the network, which you do, you can't watch the full replay of Raw for 30 days. And Hulu is like, oh, we'll just cut out an hour of the show.
Huh.
So I guess one thing that's worth talking about is what do we expect from tomorrow's Raw, the fallout of Extreme Rules?
I'm not honestly, Ted, I'm not expecting much. Like this was such a weak, especially after a great WrestleMania, this was a very weak follow-up. I'm hoping, you know, obviously they're going to continue the Bray Wyatt, John Cena storyline. I'm not sure what the Shield does here and Evolution do from here. Daniel Bryan, I'm sure, will get attacked by Kane. I just feel like it's not really, there's not going to be anything real new coming from this.
It's not like the day after WrestleMania where you really feel like they start a new wrestling season. And especially tomorrow, it's going to be like, well, everything is exactly the same. You're going to have the same feuds. I think John Cena is just going to be extra sad.
Yeah. He's going to come out and say, why? I don't understand why.
You know, this is his message, and hustle, loyalty, and respect, and Johnny.
Yeah, I'm not looking for. After WrestleMania, I was looking forward to Raw. I'm not looking forward to Raw. I'm gonna watch it because it's on, but I'm not. Nothing that happened here made me look to the future in any good, positive way. If Bray Wyatt would have been booked better, I think that they shouldn't have been involved. I think it should have happened exactly how they wanted to. Maybe like one or two interferences, and then the referee sends him out. And then Bray has to do it on his own. Then he does it on his own. And then Cena comes back, and then the kid thing happens. That would have been good. But having them literally he just beat everybody. I mean, it was just like, my friend made a joke saying, okay, so it takes three Wyatts and a kid with a voice modulator to beat Cena. It's just, I don't know.
Well, they don't call him Super Cena for nothing, but I think it stands to the state of things that the most exciting thing I'm looking forward to tomorrow on Raw is the debut of Adam Rose.
See, I hate him. I hate, just from his promos, I can't stand him.
So for those of you that don't know, Adam Rose is basically, after the Leo Kruger gimmick, ended, the guy was repackaged as Adam Rose, Rock God, and basically acts like, Russell Brand's character and Get Him to the Greek.
Yeah, I know, and it's obnoxious. I can't stand it.
The NXT crowd loves it. When he debuted, his entrance is really different because he gets all those party people from the bus to come out with him, and they basically like, it's weird. But the crowd, NXT loves him, but the thing about NXT is it's a small, intimate environment, and a lot of these things don't translate well to WWE. I think it's a miracle that the Wyatts got as far as they did. I was really afraid, because the Wyatts, Bray Wyatt, before he had the Wyatt family, would do this thing where you used to come out before every match, and before he really had music, he would just cut this promo, and the promo was always amazing. Of course, a lot of people don't remember that the first Wyatt family member was that guy from NXT Season 2 who couldn't stop saying the word mustache or whatever. If anyone remembers his name, the tall guy.
Mm. Yeah. I didn't follow NXT. I didn't realize that Bray Wyatt was brought up from there. I would like to go back and watch some of that stuff if they have it on the network.
No, but they do have it on Hulu.
Okay, I'm going to do that then.
So if you're going to want to watch that, go watch Season 2 of NXT and watch a guy named Husky Harris.
That's Bray Wyatt?
That is Bray Wyatt.
Oh, my God.
later, Husky Harris joined the Nexus, and then Randy Orton kicked him so hard he became Bray Wyatt. Funny thing, okay, so a lot of people used to chant Husky Harris at him, and Bray Wyatt is really good at defeating what chance. He knows how to change his cadence, so he's very good at cutting a promo and getting the audience to go where he needs him to go.
Yeah.
But what really sticks out with Bray Wyatt is, you know, people say, well, what about Husky Harris? And then on Twitter, Bray Wyatt said something on Twitter that's just creepy as hell. He said, you know, about Husky Harris, he needed a direction and I needed a body. That's good.
Yeah, that's really
like good. Like, okay, yeah, it's still storytelling, but holy crap, that even lends credence to the belief that Bray Wyatt is Husky Harris possessed by Satan. Of course, if you really want to follow really convoluted wrestling storylines, follow a promotion called Chikara about a guy that got kicked so hard he went 2 years into the future and got an almanac about all the events that would happen for the previous 2 years. And Back to the Future 2 style, he took it back with him. Chikara's weird. And the thing about the storyline, it's still going. In fact, Chikara went out of business, but they really didn't. And you have to follow these YouTube videos. And they did like this alternate reality game in real life. Dude, it was messed up. Why can't the WWE do awesome stuff like that? That doesn't make any sense. Okay, I see the problem. Way too much attention span, but, you know, the internet has people who will really read into everything.
Well, I guess that's, I mean, I don't really have anything else to say. I feel like we've talked everything about the pay-per-view. This is kind of what I had in mind, just something like, you know, brief, just to kind of shoot shit, talk about wrestling, because I know you and I both like wrestling. Yeah.
It would have been nice if the pay-per-view was better.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like at this point, there's really nothing to say. Like, next, you know, hopefully on, you know, the next pay-per-view is actually on my birthday. Hoping that's better. I'm hoping that they have better build-up for some of these storylines. I don't know. I mean, I was just very, very disappointed. If I was grading this, I would give it a C.
Wow, that's actually pretty high for what we've been talking about. I give it a C minus.
Well, and I mean, that's the strength of that Shield match. And I feel like I like a lot of what they tried to do with the Bray Wyatt match, but then it just got to be to the point where it was like, it started fine, and then it just started getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse with for Bray. And then I like the ending. So it kind of, that match was going to be an F, so it brought it up to a D. So you're averaging out at about a C for me.
Well, it's one of those things where, we have, you know, the cost of pay-per-views has gone way down. So it's like, do you feel so bad that you spent technically $10 on that, less if you enjoy the other programming? You know, it's hard to say what the value of these pay-per-views are now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. None of this has to do with in terms of, like, wrestling I don't view like that. Like, I've been a long-time wrestling fan. My interest isn't as strong as it was, you know, 15 years ago or even when I was a kid. Like, but, I watch it every week. I don't watch the Superstars or you know, NXT or anything like that. And I don't follow TNA or anything like that anymore. But I like it enough that this, you know, $10 is totally worth watching. I mean, I don't feel like I wasted any money watching the pay-per-view. I just feel disappointed because I care how they book my favorite wrestlers. And Bray Wyatt right now is my favorite wrestler in there. And I thought they were doing the reason why he became my favorite wrestler is because they were booking him really well. And I just feel like two pay-per-views in a row, they booked him very poorly.
Well, We're here for the ride, and what are we going to do, watch TNA?
Well, back in the day, before I stopped watching, TNA was actually pretty good.
Yeah, it was back in the day.
But now, not so much.
Not so much now.
All right, cool. This was good. You got anything you want to say before we go?
I'm going to have to DVR Raw. I'm working late tomorrow.
Oh, good. I'm just going to watch it on Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm feeling like, you know, I want to watch it, but I just suddenly realized, wait, if I'm DVRing it, I could turn it into an hour-long show, thinking about all the parts I can fast-forward.
Yeah, you're lucky about that.
Yeah.
You're lucky about that. All right. For everyone listening at home, thanks for checking out our inaugural podcast. Sean and Ted talked about wrestling. And this will be up. We'll try to do this once a month after every pay-per-view. And we'll see you next time. Thanks a lot.
See you, guys.